All right, today we're going to continue our series, Living Your Best Life. Everybody say your. Come on, now, living your best life. The problem is we want to live everybody else's best life, don't we? We see somebody on social media, we see stars, we see people we think got it together, and we're like, if I could just have what they have, if I could just have as many followers as they do, if I could just have people like me the way they do, if I could just have that kind of family, if I could just have that kind of spouse. I mean, all these misconceptions, and we think that living your best life is like living like somebody else, and that's so untrue. That's why we're focusing back on living your best life. You got to live the life that God has given you, and when you learn to live your best life, it sets you free from what other people think. Now, how many today would love to win $1 million? Anybody here would love to win $1 million? Anybody here? Yeah. What would you do if you won $1 million today? Someone tell me, what would you do if you won $1 million? Oh, hallelujah right there, Pastor Tom. Free coffee from the coffee shop today. God bless you, my son. Okay, go and sin no more. All right, anyway, today, what else would you do? What else would you do if you had $1 million? How many would buy a new car? Anybody buy a new car? All right. How many would take a nice vacation? Anybody here? Hallelujah. Yeah, I mean, out there. Like Honolulu. Yeah, we go there. Hallelujah, Honolulu. We're all there. Hawaii. God's calling me. You know, I was looking online. You know, if you want $1 million, you could probably stay at a place like this. Now, one of the world's most expensive hotels is the hotel in Geneva, Switzerland. The Royal Penthouse there. It's in the hotel President Wilson. And it costs you roughly $80,000 a night to stay in this hotel room. So for approximately $1 million, you can stay for 2 weeks vacation at this hotel in Geneva. I mean, hey, live it up for 2 weeks, right? What you can invest? You could do that. If you won $1 million, if you chose, you could choose to invest it in a 2 week vacation to Geneva. Okay. Or you could take that same money and you could stay and go to Branson. And you can stay at the Bald Knoppers Motor Inn, and you can live there for 40 years. Just saying, you know, you can live there for 40 years. You might even get a free show ticket for 40 years staying there. You can go visit Pastor Joe and some of his family, and it'll be a great thing. But, you know, it's you know, it's all about how do you want to invest it? You know, how do you want to do it? Maybe some of you would like to invest. I've seen the other day where one of the world's most expensive desserts was this chocolate pudding that had gold lining leaves, that you edible gold leaves, and then real gold that came out wrapped in real gold. It's chocolate pudding, people. And it also had a 2-carat diamond stuck in the very middle. And if for approximately $35,000, you know, you can have this dessert. So basically you could buy, you know, 30 of these desserts if you like to. For $1 million, you could buy approximately 30 of these desserts, chocolate pudding. Or you could turn around and buy 4 million snack packs of pudding, whichever one you want. It's just where do you want to invest it, right? Where do you want to invest it? Now, today, the chances of you winning $1 million is 1 in 1 billion. I mean, hey, it's just there. You know, every once in a while, somebody wins that big lotto. But there's a reason why they tell you. You know, everybody, when that lotto goes up and people are down there buying those tickets, you know, it's 1 in like 200 billion chance that you're going to have a chance of winning, you know. And so the odds are, you know, none of us here are going to win $1 million, okay? Maybe somebody gets lucky and wins $1 million. God bless you. But I will tell you this, the average person in America will make at least $1 million in their life. And so you'll have $1 million come through your hands over your lifetime. The question is this, how will you invest it? How will you manage it? How will you handle that as God has given it to you? How will you manage that in your life? You see, we all have these crazy misconceptions or crazy things we'd love to do if we got it all at one time. But when we stop and think about it, it's kind of cool to think about. Yeah, I'll have $1 million go through my hands at one time in my life and through all total. You know, how am I going to handle that? See, how I invest it, how I steward this in my life. Most people start off their life with the attitude, you only live once, right? Come on, you remember when you get that first job in high school and maybe have a good paying job in college, and you're like, you know what, you only live once? Man, I'm taking those trips. I'm buying that car I can't afford. I'm doing this. I'm going all these things. And your parents are like, you need to learn how to save your money, how to invest. You're like, you only live once. You know, and then you're having all this fun, you're spending money you shouldn't be spending, and then you get married. God bless you. Get married, and you realize, you know what, I got to settle back down here. I can't live this way. I got to be more responsible. And so you live your life working, earning, spending, working, earning, spending, working, earning, spending. And it seems like we just live our lives in that cycle of we work, we earn it, and then we spend it. Just trying to stay, keep our heads above water, you know, make sure our bills are paid. You know, if I can just afford to get through college, if I can just afford to buy my first house, if I can just afford to have a child, if I can just afford to get my child raised, if I can just afford to get through college, if I can just afford, you know, to get my house paid off. We live all of our life in just a cycle, and then we die. I mean, we live, we earn, and we spend, and then we're done. And so it's a cycle, and it's not really living our best life. See, living your best life is when you realize this. Look at this. Life is not about spending. Life is about investing. See, when you realize this, that my life is just not about how much I can spend, but instead how much I can invest in my life. What am I doing to help other people? What am I doing to make somebody else better? What am I doing to advance the kingdom of God? What am I doing to make sure other people know who Jesus is? What am I doing to help those who need some help and encouragement? What am I doing? What am I spending my time investing? What am I spending my energy investing in? And when you learn to invest, then you learn to live your life, the best life God's got for you. Then you become fulfilled in your life, and you see God unlocking this. See, God didn't bring us into this earth just to spend. He brought us into this earth to invest. It's God's way. God invests in us gifts. Why? He wants us to invest the gifts in us so we can invest those gifts in the kingdom of God. Remember what we talked about. The good life is not something that happens to us. Living your best life is not winning $1 million. It's not something that's going to happen to you. But living your best life is something that happens inside of you and through you. When you allow God to change you from the inside out, and then you allow that to be a blessing to somebody else, then you learn what life is really meant to be. You learn what fulfillment in life is. It's what God's always designed us to live our life. Matthew 25, we're going to go back to a story I referenced a few weeks ago, and I want to spend our time and more time today in the story, dissecting it a little better. And it was just a great story. You know, I love how Jesus was such a great storyteller. He taught us in ways before technology, before we put together videos and illustrations. He had a way of painting these pictures in our mind by telling stories. He says, listen, I'm telling you this story because I want you to understand how the kingdom of God works. And he would tell these stories so we could relate how much God loves us, what God's purpose is for our lives, and how he expects us to relate to God. And so Jesus is telling us one of these great stories. And it says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. We can all relate to that. He called together his servants, and he entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave one 5 bags of silver, one 2 bags of silver, and to another 1 bag of silver, to the last dividing it in proportion. Look what it says. He divides it in proportion to their abilities. Okay? So everybody has different giftings, everybody has different abilities, and he passes out these gifts. Now, some versions call it money, some call it talents, but realizing this, that God has given every one of us gifts. He gives us things, he gives us talents, he gives us gifts that he expects us to manage. And we see this here, that this was a profit-sharing story. The owner, the CEO is God, and he calls them in, and he gives them his money. He says, now I want you to take this money, I want you to take these gifts I'm giving you, and I want you to invest them and make them grow. I want you to do something good with them. And so God owns it, God gives it to him. And we are the servants, God is the master. God is the owner, I'm the manager. So number one, write this down. Living your best life, you got to realize, I got to manage God's gifts. I've got to manage God's gifts. God's the master. He's the owner. I'm the one who stewards what he gives me. See, everyone receives a certain number of talents. And we're all responsible how we invest those talents, how we manage those gifts that we've been given. This is such a good thing. I want you to get this down. Everything we have in this life belongs to God. See, you've got to realize as a Christian, my mindset has got to go here. That everything I have in my life, my time, my talent, my treasure, my possessions, everything I have, my family, everything I have, it belongs to God. If you think it belongs to you, you'll live your life not fulfilled. You'll live your life not walking in the full blessing God has for you. Those who can walk in that freedom of fullness in your life, you realize that everything I have, whether big, medium, or small, every gift I have comes from God. God, my house belongs to you. God, my family belongs to you. God, my bank account belongs to you. God, my work belongs to you. God, my vehicles belong to you. God, the food in my cabinet, it belongs to you. And if he asks me to do something with it, I'm so happy to do something, whatever he asks me to do with it. Why? Because I want to manage it. He's the one that gave it to me. And as we'll find out later on in the story, every time I invest what God's given me, he blesses me with even more. It's the way the kingdom of God works. But when you think I own it, I'm giving God my stuff, hallelujah, look at what I gave to God. No, I give back to God what's already his. I manage what he's already given me. It all belongs to him. I'm just stewarding this life, man. As long as I'm here, I'm stewarding the things, the giftings he's given to me. You know, growing up, I couldn't wait to get my license. I had a friend who was just a little bit older than me, and his parents, he'd inherited this car. It wasn't all that great. It was an old clunker of a car. Pastor Tom, man, I'd be out there, and I'd go by every single day. He's 15 years old. Every single day, he's out there washing that car, vacuuming that car out. I mean, he put armor all slick. You get in that car, you just fall out the seat because he has so much armor all. Every day, armor all those tires, this bumper, buffing the chrome on that thing. I mean, he was washing off the rust every day. He hadn't even drove it yet. He couldn't even leave his yard. But he went out there. He went out there and he was going to garage sales. He'd buy every speaker he could. And he's pretty good at electronics. And so he rigged up that whole back trunk. The whole back seat was full of stereo speakers. You know, remember the big speakers you had in your house? Back before, yeah, remember those speakers? Okay. He had those in the back seat of his car. And he'd be out there listening to music. We'd go over there and sit in his car, crank up the music, and just dream about driving. The day we finally get our license to drive. I remember when I was getting my license, waiting to get my license, and I turned 16, went down and aced my driver's test. I just had to throw that in. Went in and aced my driver's test, and, you know, and my dad was like, son, you know, I expect you to buy your first car, but until you can finish getting enough money to buy your own car, you can use my truck. And so he goes, the truck's paid off. You can use it anytime you want to. Just, I want you to take me to work and drop me off and pick me up after work. But other than that, you can use my truck anytime you want. But he had some rules. He expected me to manage that truck right. He's like, I expect you to keep it clean. I expect you to vacuum it out. I expect you to wash it off. I expect you to be out there with the SOS pads, washing that white wall, those tires down. Come on, you guys remember those white walls. I was out there, had to wash those white walls, keep them nice and white, man, keep that car clean. He expected me, can you believe this? He expected me to keep gas in the tank. I can't believe that. How mean of him, right? He expected me not to burn all his gas, but he would keep, if I'm going to use it, put gas in myself. Help carry this thing. He expected me to treat the engine right. He expected me not to burn the rubber. He's like, remember when he had a back-wheel drive and you could burn rubber every all the time? Yeah, he expected me not to do that because tires are expensive. Duh. And so he would often remind me if I don't manage his things right, that he can take those back from me. And, even though he paid the insurance and he would actually pay and own the truck, he expected me to manage it well, right? How foreign of a concept is that, right? How foreign a concept? No, that's the way God expects us. God has a high expectation of you and I that we would manage whatever he's given us. So some of us here, it's an old clunker work truck. It's all clunker. Some people have been given a lot and everything in between. He says, I don't care what you have. I expect you to manage it well. I expect you to manage it because everything you have belongs to me. See, we live in a country that's based off equality. It's one of the great things about our country. We know that our country is based off equality. We believe in it, you know, and it's a great thing about our country. We're fighting for equality for others. It's what drives us as a nation. But I want you to know this. We are all equally loved by God. When it comes to the kingdom of God, things are equal when it comes to God's love. When it comes to the kingdom of God, things are equal when it comes to God's grace, when it comes to his mercy, when it comes to his blessing. God equally loves us and gives that to us, okay? He doesn't love one person over another person. I don't care what you look like. I don't care who you are today. God loves us all the same. And if you think God has a social class, man, you are highly mistaken. Go back and read your scripture. And if anybody uses the Bible to tell you that one race is over another race, slap that person in the face and say, you don't know how to read. Because that's not the way God interpreted the Bible. God has equality for all of us. He gave his son for all of us. He died on the cross for all of us. God's love is equal. But let me make it very clear. We are not all equally gifted. I'm just telling you the truth today. We're not all equally gifted. You know, I would love to be on American Idol or The Voice. I would love to have someone hit their red buzzer for me and turn around and say, I want you on my team. Your voice is amazing. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Some of you this morning, people are worshiping. You're like, yes, I would love to be a worship leader, leading people into the presence of God. Hallelujah. But, you know, I was good enough. I have what you call a choir voice. I'm okay in the choir. I tried out for choir and I made it, but they never gave me any solos. Matter of fact, they told me, you sing solo. Solo, we can't hear you, okay? That's what we want you to do. See, I got an amen right back there. Hallelujah. I can get by small parts, but man, I'm not a soloist, okay? And I know that, and I got to realize my limitations. That's why God gave me a beautiful wife. That's a beautiful voice, okay? I can't do that. She can. But she doesn't want to get up here and speak to everybody because she doesn't like doing that. That's not her gifting. She knows what her giftings is. You see, we got to know that all of our giftings are not equal. I would love to play in the NBA. I grew up with, you know, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and Michael Jordan. And, man, I love playing basketball. Man, and I would go out. I would tell you this. I would go out and play basketball, whether it's at the gym or at the park or in the neighborhood. And I would play with my white friends, and I would dominate. It's a true story. I would dominate all my white friends. I'm like passing behind my back, little look passes, you know, up there, finger rolls on the rim every once in a while, you know, put one in, you know, and I was dominating. Then I go play with my black friends. And even the water boy would school me, made me look really bad. Man, I want to be so good, you know. It's like I can't even beat the water boy on this team. You know, I would have loved it. I wasn't a foot taller, okay? It just happens. I got to realize what my giftings are. I got to realize what my limitations are and realize not everybody's gifted to be a pro athlete. Not everybody's gifted to be a professional singer. Not everybody's gifted that way. See, our giftings are not equal. But let me give you a game changer, okay? This will be a game changer in your life. The key to living your best life is this. Look at this. Stop looking at other people's gifts and comparing what you don't have and start looking in the mirror at your own life and what gifts you do have. This is a game changer in your life. Stop comparing yourself with everybody else and looking at what the giftings they have. I can't sing that way. And I can't do that. And I can't do this. And they can do this. Life is not fair. Wah, wah, wah. Everybody, listen, we've all been given different gifts. And a game changer is when I look and say, what giftings, God, have you given me? What gifting, or even gift in some places, what gift have you given me? And how do I make the most of what I have that God has given me? So ask yourself this question, what gifts has God given you? And the mistake we make is assuming that our gift is normal. My gift's normal. No one really needs that gift. There's no place in the church for that gift. There's no place in the kingdom for that gift. There's no place in the community for this gift. And we just think that our giftings are normal. A thing that comes natural to us, the things that come natural to us, we don't often view as gifts. They just naturally come to us. Some of you here, you got the gift of organization. And when other people want to go home and chill out to relax, they don't want to do another thing, they want to veg out and just relax, you go home and you start organizing all the drawers, all the closets, organizing every room, and organizing the garage. And you're like, why don't you sit down and rest, man? We just want to, you're so tired. And you're like, this is rest to me. Because when I get done with this, I feel so much better. And it makes me have a mental relaxation. And it builds and feeds back my spirit. Why? Because you've got the natural gift of organization. You're not just a neat freak. You've got the gift of organization. And when you flow in that gift, it refreshes you. It feeds your spirit. It feeds your mind. It's why? Because it's who God designed you to be. And don't think that, oh, I'm just a neat freak. No, you got the gift of organization. How can you use that for the kingdom? How can you get involved in a ministry that someone else is really a visionary and somebody else has got a lot of good ideas, but they need somebody to come along and just organize them? Without my organizer, without having Pastor Jana working with me as administrator, I'd be a mess. But she keeps us organized. She keeps the staff organized. My wife, she keeps me organized. I need that. I got a lot of great ideas, but she keeps me organized, keeps me planted, keeps me down to earth. Why? Because that's where the giftings are. And you got to realize, what is your gifting? What are the gifts that God has naturally given to you? Remember this, it's not your gift, it's God's gift. It's not your gift, it's God's gift. Ask yourself this question, what do I love to do? What do I do that gives me strength? It refreshes me when I do it. And you got to learn to cultivate those things, those gifts. How can I take those gifts and invest them in the kingdom of God? Number two, you got to invest them, right? You got to invest God's gifts. Invest God's gifts. God didn't give out the talents. He didn't give them out for them to take it and to bury it. He expected them to invest them. God, whether he gives you one gift, five gifts, or 10 talents, doesn't make a difference. He expects us to invest his gifts he's given us. He expects us to invest it. Look what the story says now in verses 16 and 18 of Matthew 25. The servant who received the five bags of silver began to invest. He invested it. Great concept, right? Invest the money, and then what happened? He earned five more. The servant with two bags of silver, he also went to work, meaning he did the same thing. He invested it, and he earned two more. But the servant who received just one bag of silver, he dug a hole in the ground and he hid the master's talents, the master's money. Yeah, why? Ask yourself that question. Why did he bury his gifts? Everybody else is investing their gifts. Everybody else is using their gifts to bring back the master glory, to earn a return on the investment. Everybody else is investing, taking risk, and this guy buries it. Why did he bury his one and only talent? We find out in this next scripture. Look what it says here in verse 25. He answered Jesus and said, I was afraid. Let's get real this morning. Many of us live our life right here. I was afraid. I was afraid I would lose your talent, master. I was afraid I would lose your money. So I hid it in the earth. Look, here it is. I give it back to you. For many of us here, we let our life be paralyzed with fear. God has given us talents. Listen, we have to. Look at this. We have to move past our fears. When it comes to investing our talents, investing our gifts, if I give my offerings to the Lord, there won't be enough money to pay my bills. God says, move past that. Try me and see if I won't move in your life. Try me and see if I won't open up heaven and bless you abundantly. If I give my gifts, if I use my talents, people may not like it. You're right. What if I use my one talent and nobody notices? What if nobody affirms me and tells me, good job? What if, and we live our life paralyzed by fear? Basically, we're digging the hole and keeping it plain and safe. Listen, we got to move past our fears. Past our fear of failure. Past our fear of self-doubt. Past our fear of not being good enough. Past our fear, and invest our kingdom-given gifts. Invest your life. Move beyond your fears. This generation needs to be encouraged to take a risk. Listen, we got to encourage. I mean, my grandfathers, man, they took a risk on everything. My parents took some risk. And we want to play it safe. And we're raising up generations who want everything handed to them and playing it safe. They've come to expect things without taking any risk. I was talking to one of my sons the other day, and we were having this conversation about girls and how things have just changed now, Dad. So I said, Dad, things have changed now. Guys, when they ask girls out, they don't do it the way you did. First of all, we start following each other on social media. We follow each other on Instagram or whatever, you know. We follow each other. I add her. She adds me back. Maybe there's some interest here. And all of a sudden, I like some of her photos, and she likes some of mine back. And then pretty soon, she's like 10 in a row of my post. And I've liked 10 of hers in a row as well. And then she starts complimenting me on my pictures about how good I look. And then she puts something like, I would love to date a guy who looked this good. And I think to myself, maybe this girl will say yes if I ask her out. I'm like, man, you guys are taking the easy way. Where is the fun in that? Where is the risk in that? You'll never know the risk of picking up a phone and calling to somebody's house cold turkey, having their mom or dad answer the phone and ask, who's calling for my daughter? Is this Gene? Hey, Gene's on the announcing to the whole house. Gene's on the phone. Do you want to talk to this boy or not? And you're waiting. Yeah, she'll be right here. You can hear the phone drop on the floor. Just wondering if you'd like to go out sometime, or what are you doing this Friday? You know, you know what? You may actually get rejected. That's what I've heard. It may never happen to me, but I heard that some people actually get rejected. You got to take a risk sometime. You know, so you just don't know. You ask somebody out, you're going to find out right there, and their body language is going to tell you whether or not they're interested right there. You're going to find out really fast, you know. Quit playing us safe all the time. What's the fun in that? Where's the adventure in that? Where's the growing in that? Nowhere. Listen, ladies, make them call you. Make them ask you. Don't you accept any date from a text. Say, you can call them and ask me. That's fine, okay? Just put the bar a little bit higher, okay? Come on now. Let's quit making them think everything's going to be easy. Sometimes you got to work for things you want. Sometimes you got to take a risk. I love it. One of my sons, Preston, I love that, man. He was taking a risk in his life, and he was always trying things, and nothing was really coming together for him. He tried this, didn't like it. Tried this, and didn't like it. Tried this, and didn't like it. You know, any parent understand what I mean. You invest in this thing, it doesn't work. Invest in this thing, it doesn't work. Finally, as he was graduating, he was investing his own money into renting nice cameras and then taking those pictures and trying to make a little bit of money. And he was like, you know, I think I want to take off of this photography thing, Dad. So we invested in a very nice camera for him as a graduation present so he could take that. And he took that and he stepped out and he started doing things for free. He'd ask, you know, some pretty girls, can I take your picture for free? That way he could post them online and then advertise how well he did. And then he put out applications for models. And then pretty soon he's got people booking with him. And he did it last year for the first year. And this year he's doing it again the second year. And now his business has taken off. And he's doing awesome. He's paying his way through school from his own photography business. He's doing great. Very proud of him. And then he's taking what he's doing now and he's linking his passion up with the kingdom of God. And he comes and he's using his giftings here at the church, making videos, taking pictures, running our social media pages, and doing those things. He's taking those things now and linking his passion with the kingdom of God. And I see him growing. He's got a lot of ways to go yet, but he's growing every week. I see him growing. Why? Because he was not afraid to take a risk. We got to encourage our kids. It's okay to take a risk. Encourage the next. It's okay to take a risk. Use your giftings for the kingdom of God. Come on, you've been given giftings. Use them for the kingdom of God. Use them to help somebody else. Use them to make somebody else better. Use them to encourage somebody else. Don't bury it. Don't keep it to yourself. Come on, use your gifts. Invest your gifts. Do it for somebody other than yourself. Otherwise, you'll die a lonely, miserable person. Just going through the cycle. But when I invest in the next generation, when I invest in people who need it, and when I invest in the kingdom of God, God looks at me and says, well done. Well done, man. I am very, very happy. Look what Matthew 25, 26, and 29 says. But the master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant, I gathered crops I didn't cultivate, then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. That's really fair, isn't it? Take the one who only had one, take it away, and give it to the guy with the most. To those who, look what he says now, to those who use well, to those who manage well, what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. You want more? You want an abundance? Then manage well now what you're given. It brings us right back to the illustration we've been using all throughout this series. That everybody wants to manage this. Everybody wants to manage this. Everybody wants to manage this. But nobody wants to manage this. But nobody will notice if I just keep this to myself. I don't have a lot, so nobody really notices it. I'm just going to bury it, keep what I have to myself so I don't run out. No. How do I get to here? Taking the one gift I have now. Learn to be a pitcher now. Learn to pour out now. Learn to give now. I don't learn to give here. I learn to give here and let God bless me with more. And as he blesses me with more, I manage it well. And then he blesses me with abundance. Then he blesses me even more. This is how the kingdom of God is set up. He doesn't want us to bury our gifts. He expects you and I to invest any gift that we've been given. That's how he expects us to live our life. And let me tell you, nothing about this story was fair. Nothing about the story is fair. Take away from the one who only had one and give it to the guy who had 10. Look at this statement today, and I want you to get it. Life is not fair. Life is not fair. Quit telling your kids, oh, life's fair. No, it's not. Life is not fair. Things that happen in life are out of our control, and sometimes they're just not fair. My responsibility is not to say, Jesus, that wasn't fair. My responsibility is, no matter what hand I've been dealt in life, how will I manage it? That's my responsibility. And no matter what hand I've been dealt, when I manage that hand, God will give me more. And God will give me an abundance. And God will bless me with more. Stop making excuses. Quit living in fear. Quit worrying about, well, I didn't have this. This happened to me. Yeah, some of those things are out of your control, and they were very bad. I understand that. But what I'm saying is, as adults now, we have to step up and take ownership and say, you know what? How am I going to manage what I've been given? Am I going to let it bury me? Or am I going to manage that and say, you know what? I'm going to invest even the one thing I have. I'm going to invest it. What little time I have, I'm going to invest it. What little resources I have, I'm going to invest it. I want to invest it into the kingdom of God. The secret is this, that you use well what you've already been given, and more will be given unto you. Manage well what you've already been given, and more will be given to you. So what's the next step? Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. I would give more. I would give more, but I don't have an abundance. I'm right here. Well, give the small you have. I would give more time, but I just got a little bit of time. Well, give a little bit of time you have. I don't have anything that's great. I can't lead a congregation. I can't lead a crowd. I can't sing. I can't speak. I can't lead a ministry. Can you bring some organization? Can you bring some muscle power? Can you bring some support and encouragement? Can you just show up with a smile? Can you show up with snacks and be the person who helps the party get started? What can you do now? Invest it. Invest it. Don't make excuses. Don't bury your talents. And the next step after that is receiving God's reward. Then we receive God's reward. Look what he said in verse 23 at Matthew 25. Then the master said, well done. How many want God to say that to you? Well done. To those who invested the talents, this is what he says. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. You didn't make excuses. You didn't hang on to it. You didn't play it safe. You didn't bury it. He goes, you were faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. And then he says, let's celebrate together. The key to receiving more is manage well the things you have now. Manage well the life you have now. It may not be ideal. You may have never pictured yourself in a situation you're in right now. Is it going to be a place that keeps you in fear? Is it going to keep you a place in hiding where you bury your talents and make excuses? Are you going to say, you know what? I don't know how I got here. I had some things that were out of my control. Maybe it was part of my bad decisions. Maybe it had nothing to do with my bad decisions. Maybe somebody else made some stupid decisions. And I'm here where I'm at right now. But now, where do I go from here? How do I handle it now? I'm going to make a promise to God. I'm going to invest the talents he's given me. I'm going to invest the things he's given me now into the kingdom, helping other people. Then God affirms us. God celebrates us. And it says this, that when this happens, God says, well done, my faithful servant. I'm going to give you even more responsibilities. I'm going to give you even more talents. Then he says, let's celebrate together. How many would love to have God celebrating over you? How many would love to have God celebrating with you and over you? The Bible says this. This is a painting a picture. This is painting a picture of kingdom principles. When we invest the small talents we have now and we trust God with the giftings we have now, great or small, when we do that and we don't play it safe, it says, God says, good job. I can tell you people who I thought, you know what, they have no talent to be where they're at, but they stepped out and used the small talent they have, and God doubled it and then tripled it and quadrupled it and took it, and they're doing things I would never thought on the outside would ever happen to them. But they started off because they managed well the small things in their life. Are you investing? Last question I'm asking you today. Are you investing your gifts now? Are you investing your life now? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Before we go any further today, I just want to ask you a question that's probably the most important question you'll ever be asked in your life. It's simply this. Have you ever made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior of your life? If you died today, would you know that heaven's your home? And do you have that personal relationship with Jesus where you've asked him to be Lord of your life? It's a question that we've all in this room have had the answer before. And I want to ask it today to make sure there's people here who may need to make that decision. We won't do anything to single you out or to embarrass you, I promise you that. But we do want to give you a chance to respond. So today, if you're here and say, Pastor Gene, I would love to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I realize first and foremost, I just got to do that. I got to accept his forgiveness in my life. I got to accept that equal love that he gave to me and mercy he gave to me that you've been talking about. We don't deserve it. It's the free gift of love and grace that he gives to us. We just have to accept it. Today, if you're here, say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, but today I'm ready. No one looking but me. Can you raise your hand? Let me see you. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else today you want to join these? Raise it real quickly. If you haven't raised it, raise it right now. Raise it right now. That's me. Thank you. So what we're going to do today, we have those who raise their hands. And so I'm going to ask you to say this prayer after me. Repeat it out loud. And as Christians sitting around you, we'll help you as well. We'll say it out loud with you. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. from this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give him a hand. Yeah, big decision. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, before you leave, we invite you to start by our welcome center back here at the back. And every free Bible we'd love to give you. Some more information inside we'd love you to have. I invite you to stand on your feet this morning. Today, I believe that many people here have allowed fear to stop you from investing your gifts fully. You're afraid of maybe being rejected. You're afraid of not having enough. You're afraid that people won't accept it. You're afraid that it won't be good enough. You're afraid that maybe it'll make no difference. Whatever the excuse is today, I want you to move beyond that fear and say, God, I got to learn to invest my life today. I got to learn to invest the gifts you've given me today. And so I'm going to invite you, for those who would like to join me, step out of your seat. Come to the front as we stand around the altar and sing this song about no longer being a slave to fear. We're stepping out and saying, we're not going to let fear cause us to bury our gifts any longer. But we want to step out and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to use my gifts for the kingdom. I'm ready to invest my life for the kingdom. Step in to make room for those coming behind you. Let's make it personal today. We're no longer slaves to fear. Let's invest our life.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child.
Can I invite you? I want to lift your hands as I pray for you today. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you that God, you've not given us a spirit of fear. So I come against any spirit of fear that causes us to hide, to bury our talents, thinking they're insignificant, thinking they have no purpose, thinking that people might reject them. God, I pray that God, you're lifting that fear today. And God, you're allowing people to walk in a new faith. You're allowing people to walk with a passion to say, yes, God, I'll invest anything you've given me, whether it's one talent, whether it's 10. God, I want to invest what you've given me. I want to learn to be an investor, not just a spender. But God, I want to learn to invest in the kingdom of God. I want to invest in people. I want to take people to heaven with me. I want to impact people. I want to leave a legacy. I want to impact the kingdom. Father, we say yes. We're being released from fear. And we're saying yes, 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 in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, put your hands together, God. I'm not going to be a slave to fear. All right, how many today say, Pastor, I'm not going to let fear hold me back any longer. I'm not going to let fear. Anybody here? Okay. Remember, don't bury your talent. Use it. Use it. Invest it. That's the way the kingdom works. Otherwise, when we're saved, why don't he just, boom, take us right to heaven? Because he has a workforce to do here. He's given us talents to invest here on this earth. As long as we're here, short, long, it doesn't make a difference. It's how we steward what we've been given. Now, today, before you leave, let me remind you a couple of things. Guys, if you want to go to that conference, make sure you sign up. If you want to attend one of the Wednesday night classes, please sign up. Both of those tables are to our left against the wall. God bless you. We love you. Thank you guys for being here. You guys have an awesome week.